And good Saturday afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to the Matt Pro Show, and happy Easter weekend. Got on the line with us George P. Bush. George is running for Texas Land Commissioner, and I've got to tell you, George, that it's now raining in West Texas, and I think you should take full credit for that. George, can you hear me?
I can. I'll take credit wherever I can get it.
Okay. Well, we haven't seen moisture here for a little bit of time, so it's welcome. Listen, thank you for joining us here at KFYO on Easter weekend. Now, you have a little boy. Is he old enough to look for Easter eggs yet or not?
Not quite. He's crawling around for sure and trying to walk here and there, but this may not be prime time for his Easter enjoyment, but he'll be there before we know it.
Not just yet. I was just reading a story on the news a few seconds ago. Reminded me of your grandfather. There's a fellow who lives in Comfort, just northwest of San Antonio, 98 years old. He was Jimmy Doolittle's co-pilot when Colonel Doolittle led the raid on Japan. I thought about your grandfather being one of the youngest naval aviators in World War II, and I know he was an inspiration to you. You're in the Navy. You're a Naval Reserve officer. Is that why you joined the Navy? What kind of led you to going in?
Well, yeah, he absolutely was my inspiration. You know, after I graduated from law school, I served with a great federal judge who's a great conservative on the bench. In fact, his claim to fame was that he was filibustered twice by Senator Ted Kennedy. But after service to the nation in one way, I felt after 9/11 I needed to do more, and you know, really for me the catalyst was attending the commissioning of my grandfather's fighter boat, and that was the CVN-77. It was commissioned in 06. It was initially slotted in 2005, and when I had a chance, deck wasn't completed. When I had a chance to kind of review it and get to know a lot of the naval officers in Norfolk, to me that was kind of my calling, really. And for every member of the military, they have their story as to why they enlisted, why they sought to get a commission. For me, it was I felt it that it was my generation's time to step forward, which we did and continue to do. And it continues to be one of the greatest experiences that I have, and honestly wish I had joined a little bit earlier.
Now, you were deployed in Operation Enduring Freedom. Can you talk a little bit about what you did when you were over there?
Yeah, to the extent that I can. I trained as an intel officer through the Direct Commission Officer Program, and there's different areas of specialization, including law, supply, and medical. These are in areas of need during times of our country's need that you can apply to this program, and I was privileged to get my commission through it in late 06, early 07, and trained for about 2 years in the specialization of intel, which, compared to my friends that are JAGs, I've always heard more interesting stories in our area, and so I'm glad I made that choice. When my number came up in 2010, I tried to deploy several times, actually, under my real name. But because there were, instances, force protection issues of me getting downrange, we attempted through the Special Operations Command to deploy under a different name.
I'd read that you had served over in the area there under another name, and I thought that was probably a smart thing to do for several reasons, not the least of which, why call attention to yourself and cause others to be maybe in danger that they didn't need to be, but also you could get away with a lot more, couldn't you? I'm kidding. But.
Well, unfortunately, because of the Status of Forces Agreement, any member of ISAF NATO, especially Americans, we weren't allowed to to enjoy the freedoms and liberties that we take for granted, including having an adult beverage.
I see. Well, that was a long 8 months then. Well, listen, you know, switching gears to politics, you're running for Texas Land Commissioner, and you, of course, have been all over the state, and I met you when you were here in Lubbock over last summer, and I know you'll be back. One of the things that is fascinating is it's just not all natural resources as far as the Texas Land Office is concerned. A lot of it has to do with veterans, and that's why I asked you about your service, because that gives you a unique perspective into the role of that office that you're running for to help Texas veterans. Can you, you know, what are some of the key issues as far as veterans are concerned? Because you've served with these guys and the men and women, of course. You stay in contact with them. You're still active in the reserves. What, you know, as far as, because it's kind of a different tangent. People don't normally think about it that way.
No, that's absolutely right. It's a critical role of the office. It actually dates back to the days of the Republic when the agency was created in 1836 to be a steward, if you will, for Republic veterans that helped liberate Texas from Mexico. And since that time, there's been that historic duty of the agency to honor the commitment that the state and later, you know, as a member of the U.S., you know, that service. After World War II, the Veterans Land Board was created, and this is the specific authority that the land office has in the current day, and that's continuing to provide low-interest rate loans competitively for veterans, also providing veterans a first right of refusal to purchase land that's either foreclosed upon or available in the state inventory. And that continues to be, you know, a successful agency that's cash flow positive, and I really want to continue that. But there's two specific areas that are outside of my statutory authorities, but that I want to work with private sector and federal interests to do a better job of as it relates to our veterans. First is the rate of suicide. It is absolutely unacceptable. It exceeds 22 a day. If you can really just think for a second, I ask your audience to think about that for a second. 22 military veterans are committing suicide every day, and to me that's unacceptable. There's clearly a crisis in the community, whether it's raising the red flag and looking out for our battle buddies that we think might have PTS or are demonstrating symptoms of PTS, which is a large contributing factor to this crisis. And being open and honest as it relates to vets and being there for them, whether you have a family relative or a friend that you know has returned or rolled off of active duty, and that's just being a friend. You know, most veterans that I talk with aren't looking for really kind of a handout or anything in particular. They're just looking for a friend and a hand up. But secondly, you know, there's a huge rate of unemployment. There's study recently conducted by the Washington Post that shows that in the 9/11 generation, that veteran community, you'll find an unemployment rate that exceeds 12%. And again, that's unacceptable. The GLO, along with the Texas Veterans Commission and other state entities, including the Texas Workforce Commission, get together and hold career job fairs throughout the state. This past year was down in Houston to try to get vets into well-paying, not just jobs, but careers. And with our energy boom in the state of Texas, you know, the energy executives I talk with love the idea of having more veterans fill these positions because of the self-starting initiative that a lot of veterans have, the training that you can't get in the civilian industry. So there's a lot of exciting things. I mean, we tend to forget as civilians that we send these young men and women into battle. In this case, this is the longest commitment that we've had in our nation's history. And then when these young men and women return from service, we've got to continue this commitment to them because they're our most cherished resource.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other issue I found fascinating about the Texas Land Commission office are the home loans and the land loans that are overseen to help Texas veterans, low-interest loans, long-term land loans. Talk a little bit about that, because I think, again, that, you know, if you're elected to office, it seems like, you know, more promotion of that might be warranted as well.
Absolutely, yeah. That's this part of the agency has been doing great. Since it was created, it has been cash flow positive. It hasn't cost taxpayers, but it has provided this great resource to Texas vets. You know, in this study that you'll find, in other studies here in the state, you'll find that a lot of vets, however, are not aware of programs like this. Mm. And Texas is unique that in the sense that we not only is the state own a lot of our land as opposed to it being controlled by the feds, that we provide this wonderful benefit. And you're absolutely right. We got to do a better job of educating our vets, whether that means getting on bases themselves or being involved in the actual transition for vets as they roll off of active duty or reserve duty. To date, you know, we've had celebrity endorsements that, you know, talk about the program. They visit college campuses. There's a robust website that's up, and it's actually on the Texas General Land Office site if you check it out right now or Google those terms. But especially now as veterans roll off of duty, you know, this is, again, a great benefit. I've had a chance to see personally a few vets, you know, buy their homes and in coordination with other nonprofit organizations move into these homes and have developers actually specially design these facilities for their needs, whether they, you know, have lost a limb or they have mental health issues that they're dealing with. And so this is an exciting area of the agency that more Texans quite honestly need to know about.
Well, I was doing research for the show today, George. I saw that the one of my favorite actors, Barry Corbin, volunteered to cut commercials for the VLB, and he, of course, he's from La Mesa, which isn't too far from Lubbock, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've already received some ideas for other you know, celebrities and other famous veterans.
Oh, great.
For that matter, that would be willing to help get the word out. But, you know, when asked why, you know, I would like to run, this is absolutely one of the number one calls of duty that, you know, I feel in my heart, in that call to duty and service to others. And
do you think veterans make better politicians?
I think they have a different experience, that they bring to the table than maybe non-vets. But, you know, in my opinion, having kind of seen a little bit of both sides, I really do think that members of the military, and those that decide to serve in that way, it truly is a higher calling. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandfather would often say that politics is a noble calling, but I think jumping into the military is, you know, it's an ultimate commitment to our country when you raise your right hand and say that you'll support and defend the Constitution.
You're a terrific guy to take some time, and I can't let you go without asking you a couple more questions, national politics in general, and I won't put you on the spot, but I know you spoke at the 88 Republican National Convention. I was there. I heard you speak. You also spoke at the 92 convention, and I also heard you speak then. Now, there's some talk that the Democrats are going to have their convention in Austin, and there's some talk that the Republicans could have their convention in Dallas. What do you think of that, having the Democrats down in Austin, the Republicans up in Dallas?
Well, it really does speak to the importance of the state of Texas. You know, I've been telling friends on a personal level for a long time that, you know, with Hillary Clinton being the likely candidate, she could actually, you know, put Texas in play for the first time in a national general election for some time. Having said that, it's important as Republicans for us to come together. You know, I know a lot of your listeners are supporting, you know, candidates that are still in very important runoffs for the future of the state of Texas. But I've encouraged Republicans since the primary that we really need to come together. And the stakes at the national level could not be bigger. Yes, it's important that we have an honest dialogue about, you know, how we move forward as a party on very important issues. But at the same time, we can't afford to let this president keep his agenda on the table with a majority in the Senate in 2014, and it, because really the best way to stymie his agenda is to take it back. But then in 16, we've got to take back the White House, and that's I think anything short of that is it's dangerous for our country.
Well, since you brought up 16, one of the nicest guys I've ever met. I'm not saying this because you're on the show right now, but one of the nicest guys I've ever met in politics, I met in Tallahassee, who was governor of Florida, happened to be your father. But I found him to be unique in the respect that he was a very laid back, a very easygoing guy. Was he like that growing up? Was he a just, you know, kind of easygoing dad, or was that something that I saw later as he mellowed?
No, that's definitely the former. You know, he was a great father. Really took time out of his busy life to be there whenever I needed him, whether it was baseball or fishing or whatever interest that I had. You know, he never took himself seriously, which sometimes is...
That's rare.
it's a common characteristic of somebody in public service, And I thought that was important, and a lesson that I've incorporated in my own, you know, schedule with my own son is just taking time for him.
Well, a great role model, and of course, your dad had a great role model too. And do you think your dad's going to continue in politics? I know it's a question you're probably asked 100, if not 1,000 times, but what do you think?
Well, it's hard to say. I think he's giving it serious thought. I think he has a lot to offer to the party and to conservative thinking in our country, but I don't think that he's made a decision at this point. I think he's helping out other candidates. He was in you know, New Mexico and Nevada helping out Governor Martinez and Sandoval. He was recently here in Texas helping out other candidates, and so, you know, I think he's giving it thought. Based on kind of my conversations with him, it appears he's going to wait till the end of the year, which I think is the right thing to do, is just wait for the midterms to pass before making an assessment. But, you know, in the meantime, I've been helpful to, you know, myself, to other candidates, and I'm just encouraged that we have some great next-generation Republicans that are giving this some thought as well, so we'll have some good options in 16.
You're a swell guy and a great dad to talk to us on Easter weekend, and I think you want to be remembered as not only a great Texas Land Commissioner if you're elected, but also as a great naval officer. So thank you for your service, and thank you for your time on the radio today.
Anytime, sir.